This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
The Resources Committee will come to order. Welcome, everybody, and welcome, Internet listeners. I would ask that everybody turn their phone to silent so we're not interrupted, and ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representative Chase.
Here.
Fink.
Here.
Glanzer.
Here.
Westmeister excused. LeVermont.
Here.
Marty.
Here.
Mullally.
Here.
Otten.
Otten.
Here.
Peterson excused. Randolph.
Here.
Poyer.
Here.
Lake.
Here.
Gruner.
Here. Quorum is present. Thank you. We've got minutes of our previous meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion by Lilly, second by Fink. All in favor of the motion to approve the minutes, signify saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Minutes are approved. We'll just ask that everybody that intends to testify today to be sign in at the back, the podium on the sheet there. And we've got one bill on our agenda, and then the Ag Unity Breakfast and a Leopold Conservation Award presentation. So with that, I suppose Representative McCleary is still snowed in or sick or wherever he was going to pitch the bill, but we have an able substitute, so we'll get into the agenda and go to Senate Bill 4. An act to revise certain provisions regarding the classification of ag land for property tax purposes. Are there proponents? Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members of the board, my name is Kurt Chafee, representing District 29. As your chairman alluded, I'm kind of pitch hitting for Representative McCleary, who was the sponsor of this bill, and it deals with the taxation of ag land, a little thing, something I know a little bit about. I was on the ag land task force for since the inception of that committee, and served for about 6 years, and prior to that, a number of years on the working committee developing it. So I'll get down to the heat of the meat of this subject. It's Senate Bill 4. It's an act to revise certain provisions regarding the classification of agricultural land for property taxes. And basically what this bill does or allows is the Department of Revenue, in conjunction with a South Dakota State University, to study the methodology and ratings of soils for the purpose of assessing agriculture ag land based on South Dakota State University research initiated by the task force. Basically, this will allow the Department of Revenue to select a representative sampling of counties to participate in the study, and they shall help provide the data, technical assistance, and other information to the counties necessary to analyze the impact of any recommended changes to the soil rating. So basically, in a nutshell, it's on the ag land assessments are based on soil surveys. And as we found out as we went through the assessments over the years, is that the soil survey and the county's interpretation of it, we found some assessors were reluctant to make much of an adjustment, even though it was permissive in the statute. So Dr. Elliott was hired from SSU, and he took a look at the soil surveys and was able to do some analogous on things that, just for an example, the size of a soil type within the terrain, within the topography of a soil, basically a fancy way of saying how that dirt lays on that hillside. What the study would allow us to do is basically, this is a study that you've already paid for as the state of South Dakota. It's already completed. What we're doing now is basically rolling it out to the different counties, sampling counties, and see the cause and effect of what that valuation did. In some of the studies that we've looked at, there has been some changes within the soil survey types, meaning that a soil might have been considered a class grass in the past, now it would be consider cropped in the future, or the associated rating with those different soil types. This study allows us to take a look on a county by county basis within the sampling and see truly what the shifts were in the assessments. Did it push value away from grass onto crop, or vice versa? Did it have more of an impact on the eastern side of the state than it did on the western side of the state? With this study, we hope to be able to answer some of those questions for future legislation that this committee will probably hear for in the future. With that, I'll be around to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Angela Ehlers. I represent South Dakota's conservation districts, and we do rise in support of this. I want to make sure that you all understand this is a study. Nothing will change on the county level and what's being implemented at the current time until we've had a chance to look at the results of the study. The pilot committee counties will have basically two sets of books running what's actually happening and to do an analysis of what could happen. So it will not change anything that's happening right now. This is to decide, to determine. Dr. Elliott's research was based on projections and based on expectations. We want to see what actually happens in real life as a comparison. So all you're doing is proposing a study right now to compare what could happen and leaving what's going on right now alone. One of the things is we're going to look, it's based on more appraisal techniques as we do as appraise other things. And right now in crop, non-cropland, we do it on cash rent. This would look at using forage value because cash rents right now are, I can't tell you that data is the most accurate in the world. It's coming out of NAS. And it's a self-reporting. You and those of you that know NAS understand what I'm talking about. What we're looking at, forage value as a potential for non-cropland. But remember, we're not changing anything that's happening right now. We're just doing a comparison study. So I do rise in support of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brenda Foreman. I'm registered lobbyist for South Dakota Association of Cooperatives and South Dakota Cattlemen's Association. Both organizations do rise in support of Senate Bill 4. As we move forward and look at property assessment, we need to have fair assessment. That is what the pilot projects included within Senate Bill 4 are headed towards. We're going to use the data that's been collected to find a fair way to assess agricultural property in South Dakota. With that, we'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good morning. Michael Held, South Dakota Farm Bureau. We also rise in support of Senate Bill 4. We supported the initiation of the study 2 years ago, as did a number of other ag groups. The state invested $250,000 in SDSU doing that analysis. We think it would be a good idea to follow that up with this pilot program and study, figure out what the impacts of those results from the study would be on ag land assessment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Held. Further proponents? Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the House Ag Committee. My name is Matt McCauley. I'm a lawyer from Sioux Falls. Registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Corn Growers Association, here in support of Senate Bill 4. I have a few items to share. By the time I'm done, the committee may wonder if I truly am in support of Senate Bill 4, but I assure you I am in support of Senate Bill 4, and it should pass today. But I'm giving you a handout that was produced from, it's one of the slides from Dr. Elliott regarding the study that was mentioned that's been paid for and concluded. The corn growers have long been skeptical, and I've testified many times over the last decade regarding this issue because of this simple fact. It is impossible for the legislature to give someone a tax break without shifting that burden to somebody else or cutting funding to government services. And the number, what you're going to see in front of you today is from Dr. Elliott. And this is the first time, I think, this summer, this fall, or last fall, that we had actual data that would show the impact of moving to the most probable use method or the actual use method as well. And so you see the roughly $52 billion of ag value under the current method moves down to $46 billion estimated under most probable use and $42 billion under the actual use method. That revenue or that valuation loss would need to be shifted within ag and or to commercial and owner occupied. That's why we need the data before moving to some kind of actual use system. We also need to then take and analyze the impact on the counties, the school boards or the school districts, and every other special purpose district that receives funding from property taxes before we start, I'm going to use the word, messing around with valuations. But Senate Bill 4 gives us a way to take and run the estimated impact on a per parcel basis and look at that, what that would happen on a county basis, on a statewide basis, and on an east-west basis. Frankly, the shift to actual use may benefit some of the members of the South Dakota corn growers. It may hurt some of the members. We don't know. But remember, every ag producer is also going to be interested in what happens to the schools. And ag producers also interested in what happens to the commercial levies because they have business interests. And they're also going to own residences. And as a legislature, that's the consideration you need to look at, not just from the ag side of things, but also from commercial and owner-occupied as you look at the three major categories of real estate tax classes. So I'm going to end where I started. We support Senate Bill 4 because we need the data. I believe the data will show significant shifts, but it's premature to say what that's going to be. However, we're looking at huge valuation losses within the agricultural community, and maybe some of that, in light of some of the recent increases, is deserved, and there needs to be adjustments that are made, but we need the data before moving in that direction. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would ask for your support of Senate Bill 4, and we look forward to continuing this discussion in the following years. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Good morning, Chairman Brunner and members of the committee. My name is Jeremiah M. Murphy from Rapid City. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. That was interesting testimony I'm following. It was almost kind of scary in a certain light. I agree with much of that previous testimony because, frankly, it showed the results of Dr. Elliott's study. The study's complete, and what it showed, I would differ with the previous witness only in this very important regard, and that's a grammar difference, and it would be in tense. And he's talking about the future tense, that there may be a shift because of this. We might have to make a shift because of this, and people will be hurt because of that shift. The shift already happened. The shift began in 2010 with our move to a productivity system. And that's what Dr. Elliott's study showed us, is that as a result of going to productivity, valuations and burdens were shifted. And that's what we really need to keep in mind at the outset of this. Excuse me. The shift has already occurred. Now how do we address that? How do we make those folks right? How do we make those folks whole? That'll be a really difficult process. On that, the previous witness and I absolutely agree. It won't be easy. And really, it's a process that should have happened in 2010. The study that's been completed, and what I would call the simulation that is Senate Bill 4, Senate Bill 4 isn't so much a study, it's a simulation. We're going to simulate what happens if we apply the results of Dr. Elliott's study to our ag land evaluations and then to our ag property tax assessments. This will simulate side by side, as the second witness shared with you. Nothing will change this year. Not a penny will change this year. It will be a simulation, but it will be a very important simulation because it will tell what really should be happening, what is happening, and then what will happen if we make a fix to address the shift that has already occurred, the shift that occurred 9 years ago. Because I agree with the previous witness, this is a zero-sum game. You can't, if you're going to reduce my taxes, if myself and this committee are in a pool and we have a set amount of needs, if my taxes go down, either your taxes go up or we have to cut our needs. That is indisputable. But what I suggest is also indisputable is everybody deserves to be treated fairly. And to just sort of mark a point in time as some magical spot from which if we defer, we've done wrong, I don't agree with that. There's an old saying that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, but the second best time to plant a tree is today. The best time for Dr. Elliott's study would have been 9 years ago, before we made this shift, before we implemented the system that created a shift. The best time for this simulation would have been 8.5 years ago, after that study. The second best time is now. It will be difficult to deal with. It won't be impossible to deal with. We've dealt with worse in property tax in South Dakota. We can handle this, but we need to move forward with it, and then we need to deal with consequences in a way that treats everybody in South Dakota fairly. The last point I would make is, as we're doing this study, there are issues to implementation. We know there are counties that lack the funding for proper GIS equipment and software, and there are counties that lack the funding for proper personnel. What my organization, the Stock Growers, would strongly urge you, and I'm almost getting ahead, I think, of your summer study suggestion committee or a suggestion for an existing summer study committee, is I think we need to work parallel to this simulation to figure out where we're going to find the money for those counties that lack the resources for GIS to have the software and to run it, and anything else that can happen. Because a shift has occurred in our tax base, and we need to address that. And so with that, I'd urge your support of Senate Bill 4. I appreciate your patience and your time, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further proponents? Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Paul Lepisto, a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Division of the Isaac Walton League of America, and we join all our agricultural friends in rising in support and urging your support of Senate Bill 4 this morning. The last few years, this has been obviously a hot topic of discussion during each legislative session, and every year we've heard the same thing. We can't move forward until we know the numbers. What will be the impact? This pilot in Senate Bill 4 will give us those numbers and enable the House and the Senate to move forward in a meaningful way next year. So with that, we urge your support of Senate Bill 4. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other proponents? Other proponents of Senate Bill 4? Seeing none, are there opponents? No opponents to Senate Bill 4. Seeing none, we'll go to committee questions, and I'm going to start, Representative Chafee. I have just a brief question for you. In your county, Meade County, before we went to the productivity method, can you tell me approximately what percentage ag land paid that was deemed agriculture? What percentage paid of the total tax? Remember that?
Yep. Mr. Chairman, Kurt Chafee, District 29. Mr. Chairman, the total assessed value in Meade County on the ag land was prior to 2010, we were coming off from the market value system. We were about a 300% increase into the productivity, full productivity. So it was quite a shift. Ag land assessments, I mean, that's the joke, is ain't that the shifts?
Well, you, you jumped ahead of me there, but my question would have, what I was trying to get to is Mr. Murphy's exactly right. The shift happened then, and the number I wanted, what percentage of the total tax base was ag then, and what is it now? How big a shift? 300%, yes, but I don't know if you've got those numbers on top of your head. I know
Mr. Chairman, ag used to represent in Meade County about 15% of the tax pie, and now yes. it has doubled to nearly 35% or bigger. So that that was a dramatic shift, and there's
That's exactly the number I wanted. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay. Are there other questions while he's there? Go ahead, Mr. Representative Fink.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Representative Chasey, I don't know if you know this or not, but how many counties are proposed to do this pilot? I know it said a select number of them. I was just curious if they know which ones or if just how many.
Mr. Chairman, we're looking at about 10 to 12 different counties, and we're trying to get us kind of a smattering throughout the state. Of course, we're looking for counties that have GIS capabilities. We have, you know, we have some help from either the Department of Revenue or conservation districts on trying to flesh out some of the software if it's needed. But that's the intent, to get kind of a good feel across the state what the impact would be.
Follow up? Nothing? Representative Livermont, question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question would be, as part of this study, I've heard from other testifiers that there's going to be probably a great impact to the amount of assessments the money that it will bring in as far as taxes. As part of this study, looking into where the state is going to come up with more revenue to replace this, or will that be a separate study?
Mr. Chairman, that'd be a separate study. Basically, this is just an assessment bill. Just how are we going to assess ag land? What's the fair and equitable way of doing it without minimizing the shifts and taking in some of the basic information that Dr. Elliott brought was very good information, but there was stuff that you needed to be kind of tuned to a county perspective, meaning Dr. Elliott, he didn't have parcel data. You know, counties have the parcel data, so we couldn't really assign what the value was going to be on a polygon or that parcel. So not having that information, Dr. Elliott also included some state and public lands that wouldn't have an assessment in it. And so some of that information needs to be brought out through the study of actual cause and effect on that.
Good. Representative Otten.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question or two, getting back to the Meade County assessments, I'm just a little curious. You said there was a 300% increase from when this last assessment method went into place. Was Meade County at 90% of true and actual, or was that a little low and a combination of the new assessment method that caused that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Meade County underneath the, you know, for years I've had, you know, I got 30 years working with ag land assessment, actually all sorts of assessments, but today we're just talking about the ag land. And every year there's always something doing with ag land or assessment practices. So we migrated from the market system, was due in fact that it was so broken because we had so many laws, that the NAZ properties, we had the 150 rules items like that where you are getting an artificial market. So to directly answer your question, by the time that we were on the later years of the market value system, even though we would have 30 to 40 good arm's length transaction in ag land, the laws prevented us from using those as comparables. So what had happened in Meade County and other counties in the Black Hills and a lot throughout the state was you had an artificially low assessment on the ag land of value. If you would compare it to the assessment under the market system compared to what the market value of that property was, you're probably assessing ag land at that time somewhere in the 24% of market value. So going to productivity was you had to crawl out of the hole that we dug with market value to get into productivity, and then commodity prices took off after that.
follow up?
Thank you for that. Just for the counties that are going to be selected, do we have an idea of the types? I mean, are we going to be selecting two strict grasslands and two strictly row crop and then mixed use in between that? I mean, do we have an idea of what the sampling is going to look like?
That I'll defer the question, if you, Mr. Chairman, to the Department of Revenue. They're working on that list.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Leslie Coyle, Director of State Property Tax, Department of Revenue. We do have a really good cross-sampling of all of the different counties, and I would say it includes those in the western half of the state where there's quite a bit of grazing, not as much crop soils going on, and Meade County is one of those counties that's volunteered. And then you have all the way across the board, the other situation like a Lincoln County where there's quite a bit more crop soils. We also have a mixture of the rural and urban areas. So,
good. Any other questions, Representative Chase?
Just to follow right up with Ms. Coyle, once you establish those counties, they will all understand what the purpose of this study is and be playing with the same guidebook, rule book, to where we can get an accurate assessment of how this all interacts, correct?
Mr. Chair. Go ahead. Yes, sir. So we have auditors that audit the different counties statewide, and they work with the directors of equalization. And we also have an education association that we work with all the directors of equalization. So we'll be guiding the pilot study through my department.
Follow up.
So any additional cost to these counties that are bore, where does that money come from? Is that coming from the Department of Revenue, or is that just supposed to be expected to be a cost that's absorbed by those counties? How is that going to be handled?
That's a good question, Mr. Chair. It'll be equally dispersed. So the Department of Revenue will be supporting. We'll have GIS licenses, and we'll have manpower. And then the counties will also supply manpower as well. So if they have an internal GIS person, they'll devote some of their manpower man hours to the pilot study. We specifically selected, that was part of our vetting process, to make sure that we selected counties that would have not only the GIS software capabilities, but also the manpower, potentially an internal GIS person, and that they would have enough time and manpower to support a pilot study. So that was part of our vetting process. And for those that don't, that are in some of the central counties that may volunteer, we'll also be supporting that. And we have a little bit of contractual services left over from the SDSU research study that we can put that money towards the pilot study as well, to make sure that we simulate the tax bills across the different cross-sampling of counties.
Good. Anybody else? No other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. With that, we'll move from committee questions, committee discussion, and or action. Representative Fink.
Mr. Chair, I move to pass on Senate Bill 4.
We have a motion to pass on Senate Bill 4 by Representative Fink, second by Representative Glanzer. Comments on your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really appreciate everyone coming to testify on this today and the questions and the answers from both the representative and the Department of Revenue. I think this is something that we absolutely have to move forward with and just get the answers at this point. I mean, that's really what this piece of legislation is about, is allowing this pilot program to go forward so that we can see what will happen. We have an idea what might happen, but really trying to figure out what will happen. So those are my comments. I would urge do pass.
Further comments? Seeing none, I'll make a final comment. I think Mr. Murphy is exactly right. The best time for this would have been 10 years ago or 12. But I do remember, and I'm sure Mr. Chafee does too, Representative Chafee, that we were somewhat of a crisis mode when we finally got this bill passed and got to productivity. We had the 150% rule that was just screwing everything up, and like you said, there was just no way to do a good job of assessing with the laws that we had. We had to move forward, and you know, it is what it is. And now we need to figure out, you know, how to move forward from here. And I think the more data you have, the more comparisons you have, the better off you are. So I think it's we'll have a busy year compiling all that, I think, and moving forward. But I think this legislation gets us to a place we need to be, and it's what we have in front of us today. So I would just urge passage. So thank you. We'd ask the Secretary, if there's no other comments, we'd ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Chase.
Aye.
Fink.
Aye.
Glanzer.
Aye.
Westmeister excused. Livermont.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Mullally.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peterson excused. Randolph.
Aye.
Hoyer.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bruner.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill, or Senate Bill 4 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. With that, I don't know if there's any other business come before this committee. If we want it, I guess we could adjourn and
interns.
Pages? Oh, yeah. Pages. We've got a new group of pages. Would you guys come up and introduce yourself? Tell us what your plans are for the future.
My name is Isaac Barreto. I am from Gregory, and my plans are to serve a two-year mission for my church afterwards. I hope to go to BYU and study either history or political science.
Great. Good luck with that. Good to have you here.
I am Rebecca Burkhalter. I'm from Prairie City, South Dakota, and I plan on going to Lake Area Technical Institute, where I will become an occupational therapist assistant.
Great. Good luck. Good to have you here. Thank you. With that, anything else to come for this committee? I think probably Thursday we'll have a short committee meeting, maybe meet late, talk about summer study issues, and I think there's a couple other topics we need to cover. But with that, I know the Ag Unity Group has breakfast, and I assume it's probably ready. So I think for the sake of simplicity, pardon? Yeah, I think we'll just adjourn, and then how are we going to work that with the Senate Ag going to join us and at 8:30? Okay, and then we'll have
usually put that on air unless
yeah.
You would like it on air.
It doesn't matter. No, we don't need to.
So we can adjourn and then yeah. Just do every. Okay. Yeah. That's
okay. Fine. So yeah, the Leopold Group will have have a presentation and we'll go from there. So, with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We have a motion. Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. We are adjourned. Thank you.